Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Ray Wright? First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Raymond Eugene Wright was born on June 29, 1962, and lived in the state of California. He went by the name Ray. For many years, he had difficulty regulating his intake of alcohol. His drinking behavior dominated his life. In June 1994, he married a woman named Peggy. At some point, he stopped consuming alcohol. The couple divorced in 2001. In 2009, they remarried, but they divorced again that same year. Ray started drinking again after the second divorce. Predictably, this behavior led to disaster. In November of 2011, 49-year-old Ray Wright was driving under the influence of alcohol when he slammed head-on into another vehicle. He severely injured a man named Robert Manor and Robert's wife. Robert was left with a permanent limp and a painful recovery. Robert's wife almost died in the collision. Ray Wright was charged with felony DUI. Ultimately, he was convicted and sentenced to 18 months in jail. After his release, he attempted to pick up the pieces of his life. He attended Alcoholics Anonymous meetings and communicated with his sponsor on a daily basis. Ray lived in the town of Rocklin, California, which is 21 miles northeast of Sacramento. He worked as a carpenter in a shop about 16 miles away in the town of Rio Linda. Ray had carved a path of destruction, but was ready to put all his wrongdoing behind him. Unfortunately for him, it would not be that easy. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On January 11, 2018, Ray Wright was at his carpentry shop in Rio Linda. He had contact on his cell phone with another person sometime around 9 a.m. His phone was deactivated at around 10 a.m. Ray was seen leaving his shop at around 10:30 a.m. This was the last time he would ever be seen. He started missing obligations after this, like he failed to show up to work. On January 13, 2 days after Ray went missing, his brother Dean went to Ray's house and knocked on the door. There was no answer, so Dean entered the house. He was confronted by a mysterious intruder who said, "Get out of here." Dean replied, "Who are you? Where's Ray?" The intruder exited out of the back door of the house, and Dean called 911. When the police arrived, Dean pointed out a cup on the kitchen counter that may have been left by the intruder. The police seized the cup as evidence and sent it to a lab for DNA testing. The police started searching for Ray Wright, but they did not have success. There was no activity on any of his financial accounts, and they were not able to reach him on his cell phone. His 2016 Ford F-250 pickup truck was also missing. On January 21, 10 days after Ray disappeared, the police found his Ford pickup truck at the Freedom Park Apartments in North Highlands, California. This area has a reputation for being safety challenged. Residents there are at a dramatically high risk of being the victim of a crime. The radio was missing from the pickup truck. In addition, there were no license plates on the vehicle. Human blood was found in the back of the truck. A DNA test indicated it belonged to Ray. On January 27, 2018, law enforcement activity completely unrelated to the investigation into Ray's disappearance generated a significant lead. The police in Sacramento engaged in a high-speed pursuit after noticing a white van with an expired registration. The van eventually ended up in a collision, which injured the driver and innocent victims. The driver was a man named Victor Merle Gray. He was arrested for DUI and felony evasion. The registration sticker on the white van's license plate did not match the vehicle. Instead, it belonged to Ray Wright's Ford F-250. On April 3, 2018, the DNA results came back from the cup that was found in Ray's house. It matched Victor Gray. The police examined the contents of the white van that Victor was driving. They found a yellow rain jacket and a hat, both of which belonged to Ray. In addition, his wallet, broken glasses, and broken cell phone were in the vehicle. Victor's cell phone was found in the center console. On the phone, the police found an image of a three-page letter, which was dated January 27, the same day of the high-speed chase that led to Victor's arrest. The letter had been written from Victor to a man named Bob. The letter indicated that Victor had hand-delivered revenge for Bob, and now it was time to pay. This made it seem like Bob had hired Victor to kill Ray Wright. The police examined text messages on Victor's phone and found that he had communicated with a woman named Katie Barnard. She lived in a trailer in Rio Linda that was located across from Ray's carpentry shop. The trailer was only a few feet away. Katie had transmitted information to Victor about Ray's movements. On January 11, 2018, the day that Ray went missing, Katie indicated that Ray was alone in the shop. On October 8, 2018, the police interviewed Katie. She told them that she believed Victor was trying to steal Ray's pickup truck. The police learned that Katie's ex-boyfriend was Robert Manor. This is the man who Ray Wright had seriously injured in November of 2011. Robert had been visiting Katie one day and noticed Ray Wright in the shop directly across from Katie's trailer. It was just a coincidence, but it may have inspired Robert to pursue revenge. When Katie heard the news that Ray was missing, she realized that Victor was not interested in stealing the pickup truck. Rather, he wanted to commit a much more serious crime. She spoke with Victor Gray, who told her that he had attacked Ray Wright and kidnapped him in the Ford F-250. Katie did not know what happened to Ray, but she knew it wasn't good. Concerned about being connected to a kidnapping and potentially to a murder, Katie asked Robert what happened. He told her that he murdered Ray Wright. After the stunning revelation, Robert grabbed Katie's neck and told her never to speak about this. In July of 2018, the police spoke to a massage therapist named Tessa. She had treated Robert after his collision with Ray Wright, and eventually they became romantically involved. During their magical time together, Robert mentioned many times how he wanted to get Ray Wright. On one occasion after Ray's disappearance, Robert asked Tessa to come over to his house to talk. When she arrived, he told her that he took care of something he was trying to take care of for a long time. He felt good about his actions. Robert never offered specifics, but Tessa knew that he was talking about Ray. The police believed that Robert and Victor conspired to kill Ray Wright. On January 27, the day of the high-speed pursuit and Victor's arrest, he must have been on his way to Robert Manor's house. In March of 2021, both Victor and Robert were charged with first-degree murder and kidnapping. Their trial started 2 years later, on March 8, 2023. Katie was granted immunity and testified against Robert and Victor. The massage therapist, Tessa, also testified. On March 17, Robert and Victor were found guilty of first-degree murder and kidnapping. On April 28, 2023, both men were sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Now moving to my analysis. Robert Manor maintains his innocence. After his conviction, he told the media that Victor and Katie were in a conspiracy to extort him for $20,000. This theory was not introduced at his trial. The state believes that Robert had a strong motive to kill and entered into a conspiracy with Victor. There's not much question that Victor Gray was guilty, considering all the evidence found in the white van that he was driving. But what about Robert Manor? Is it possible that Victor worked alone and Robert had nothing to do with it? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea that Robert was guilty of murder, starting with the inculpatory factors. Ray Wright mysteriously disappeared after Robert's ex-girlfriend Katie fed information about his location to Victor Gray. Victor had Ray's property in his van and a note for Robert implying that Robert ordered Ray's murder. Clearly, Victor did not plan on being apprehended by the police, so he never thought the note would be made public. Why did he write the note if there was no conspiracy to murder Ray? Katie claimed that Victor admitted to the kidnapping. She also claimed that Robert confessed to the murder. Tessa claimed that Robert implied that he murdered Ray. Robert had a strong motive to kill Ray in the form of Ray seriously injuring him and his wife in the 2011 collision. Moving to the exculpatory factors, it is possible that Ray was never actually murdered. After all, his body was never found. No physical evidence whatsoever ties Robert Manor to the murder of Ray Wright. Maybe Victor carried out the murder after Robert indicated that he wanted revenge on Ray. Like Robert never explicitly said to commit murder, rather Victor took the initiative and did what he thought Robert wanted him to do. Robert bragged to Katie and Tessa because he was happy that Ray was dead, but he did not have a hand in the murder. When considering all the evidence, do I think that Robert Manor was guilty of murder? Yes, I believe he was guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Robert is the one who possessed the powerful motive for homicide, and the massage therapist Tessa did not have any reason to lie. If it wasn't for her testimony, I would not have been convinced beyond a reasonable doubt. Katie was not a credible witness, and outside of the motive, there was no other substantial evidence against Robert. What do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Ray Wright was a criminal offender who seriously injured two innocent people by driving while intoxicated. His behavior was uncalled for, unacceptable, and extremely dangerous. He should have been sentenced to many years in prison, but instead he somehow ended up with a light sentence. He was ordered to pay Robert Manor and Robert's wife $275,000, but Ray did not take this obligation seriously. He made payments every now and then, but these payments were very small. Realistically, he was never going to satisfy a substantial portion of his debt. Ray Wright was ready to forget about the past. He wasn't interested in compensating the victims of his horrible crime. He just wanted the entire situation to be in his rearview mirror. Robert Manor did not have the same opinion. He took Ray's criminal behavior personally and believed that justice was not served. Ray's criminal act devastated Robert's life, left him in pain, and inspired him to get revenge. Perhaps it didn't make sense to Robert how he was suffering, but Ray had moved on with his life. When he was at Katie's trailer in Rio Linda and saw Robert a few feet away, he thought that fate was giving him a message. It was his destiny to get revenge. Like Ray, Robert was no angel. He had spent time in prison for selling drugs and for assault. Violence and Robert were not strangers to one another. Somehow, Robert communicated with Victor in a way that was never detected by law enforcement and hired him to kill Ray. Victor was a dangerous individual who was just looking for a way to end up in prison for life. He managed to kill Ray without being caught, but then entered Ray's house and left behind a cup containing his DNA. What's more, he led the police on a high-speed chase caused by him taking the registration sticker off Ray's pickup truck. Victor was an incompetent conspirator. Robert Manor is not happy to be in prison, but at the same time, revenge was important to him. He managed to kill his nemesis and, in his mind, even the score. Ray Wright did not deserve to die, but he certainly contributed to his own death. His callous, reckless, and antisocial choice to drink and drive destroyed his life and the lives of other people. He crafted the instrument of his own demise through his refusal to keep his vehicle separate from his drinking behavior. Now moving to my final thoughts. The case of Raymond Wright can be summarized in this way. A daring and devil-may-care carpenter dealt damage to a drug dealer during a drunken driving disaster, delivering despair and disability. Driven by a deep desire for deliverance from the distressing dilemma, the drug dealer dreamt of drastic deeds and delinquent drama designed to dismantle the drunk driver. A devastating downstream domino effect led to a dastardly disappearance, definitely disclosing a destination of death. During a delightful dialogue with a discerning disciple, the drug dealer divulged details that doomed him, leading to a dire destiny of mortal damnation.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.